Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelday providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelday can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Kevin Walsh here, the Kevin Walsh Show, a Sports Grid podcast, back with you throughout these NBA finals and through two. We're even. The Thunder, you know, do what you would kind of expect. And handle the Pacers. It makes game one for them maybe more frustrating. For Indiana, probably gives them a deep breath, a little reprieve. Want to talk through the first two games. We will do a best bet here on this show, which we've done through the first for the first two games of the finals. Both have won, so hopefully that trend continues. I'm not alone. The record holder, Joe Friso, is back. Joe, we've got some finals stuff to do. We'll also do a little Knicks coaching search, which is odder than I thought it was going to be. What's up?
What's up? Happy to be back for my third episode, despite not watching a ton of the finals. Ready to talk about it. And yeah, I mean, the Knicks stuff I can talk about. We can just do all Knicks if you want. Who cares about the finals?
I care about the finals. I am interested in, because obviously this is a thing, right? You've not watched every single second, every dribble of the games, but obviously you know what's going on. You know the conversations around the finals right now. And I think one of the things that I at least appreciate is through the first two games in true two finals fashion, the two lead stories are the two best players.
Yep.
It's Shea's excellence and it's, hey, Tyrese, it needs to be better. Which of those two things are you more interested in as far as a final storyline?
I think I would go Shea. The Tyrese, the Haliburton thing is kind of like par for the course for him, weirdly. Like, mm-hmm. The highs are really high, obviously. Like, the game that he played where he had, like, a near-perfect game and the no turnovers with the Knicks. You know, obviously every clutch shot he hits. But, like, what he put up in game two isn't, and I know he, you know, scored a lot in the fourth quarter, but, like, that's not much different than what he's done throughout the playoffs. Like, he's had a couple stinkers here and there. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm not too taken aback by that. Obviously, the heroics are what will get the headlines, and now with his limp or whatever injury he claims to have, obviously they say that he is not dealing with. Like, game three, like, I think he'll be good and he'll be fine. But to me, the series was never about him. It was about Shea, and Shea is the best player. And like we talked about going to the conference finals, you know, everything to lose. Weirdly, I don't feel like OKC had like a ton to lose coming into this because nobody thought they were going to lose anything. But like, yeah. You know, Shea is, you know, getting he's now three wins closer to proving what you said, you know, a couple episodes ago on this show, correct. He's the best player in the world and he's done nothing to disprove that through two games. So I think Shea is the big winner through two games. And he's my favorite storyline for sure.
Yeah, so for me, right off of game one, I immediately started he could win finals MVP if they lose in seven conversation because I mean, I don't know. Like, right now, if they lose the series, he'll probably finish still with, like, 33-5-5. No one in this whole series yet has scored over 20. The only person to score 20 was Caruso.
Yep.
He's on a complete... No one on the Pacers has scored 20 points yet through two games, which is... kind of speaks to who they are. Shea has scored 30 or more in 9 of his last 10 games, averaging 32.7 points per game in that stretch, which is exactly what he averaged in the regular season. And the difference with Shea, where you get guys like LeBron, Jokic, this, that, and the third, of, hey, in the postseason, they're going to raise their level. There were so many people who thought Shea's level was going to drop because of the fouls and the free throw shooting and all this stuff. And that's not happened. He's getting better as the postseason goes on. He looks so much better than everybody else on that court. The question that you kind of throw out there, and it was the question that you and I had discussed once they beat Denver, what else does he have to do? And I think there were a lot of people off of the Denver series who were just uninterested in it. But listen, sometimes when you know the beats of these conversations, it allows you to be first. If this series is OKC in five or six, and he wins finals MVP, averaging 35, 5, and 5, that conversation is going to sway a lot more. It'll be, I don't know, 50-50 him, Jokic, best player in the world.
Yeah, probably 50-50. It's such a weird thing though, right? Because the
You
more
still think it's
they,
more Jokic, right?
yeah, because I think he is. Like, I do think Jokic is the best player in the world, and that's my opinion. I think that the sentiment will swing, obviously, because the champion and the guy who wins and the best player on that team most often has the belt. I mean, obviously, we're coming off the LeBron, dynasty, where even if he lost, he was still the best player, of course. But like now, it's passing Giannis and Jokic and back and forth. But it is weird because like the more dominant OKC is, the stronger it makes Jokic's case. So like, if OKC
So
wins in five, right? Because I mean, that is Jokic is still to me a winner of the playoffs now. In hindsight, I kind of wish I could take back some of the stuff I said after that episode because they played him so close.
I'm going to go the complete other way. Jokic wasn't good enough in that series. I would not sit here and tell you they lost the series because of Nikola Jokic. I will tell you if he was better, they would have won the series. Do you
No,
like
I
he
don't
had
disagree with
two
that.
out of this world games, but he also had like the worst three game stretch of his career. And you're not the only person saying this. So, I'm a little ready on the attack because I've heard it in other places. Like, I don't, again, man, like, what is the bar for this guy? Like,
But
he
he,
lost.
no, I agree. But like, if they're gonna go for what 4-0-4-1 or 4-0-4-3-4-1-4-1, like you have to give a little bit of credit to the team that took it 4-3. I don't know the team. Like, I feel like I would never do it because I don't have the time. Well, I do have the time for it, but I just won't do it. Like to go back and rewatch those games because it is crazy. Like when you make that point, it is true. He had that awful three games, awful by his standards, three game stretch. But I don't know. Like I still think. Like I would have voted for him for MVP this year. So like you are right. There's nothing to me. If I'm going to say that, and I'm going to say Jokic is still the best player in the league to me, there really isn't anything Shea could do, and I just have to like admit that. And
Which
I'm not sure if that's right or wrong.
I don't think the Jokic thing is offensive. Right? Like, every time they try to put Steph in front of LeBron, it was offensive. It's never been true. I'm not here to act as if Jokic was atrocious in the series. He had one of the more bizarre series I've ever seen, though, where game number one, 42, 22, and 6. It is one of the games of his career since they ended up winning it. The next three games, 17, 20 and 27, all of those games under 40% from the field. It happened, right? Like, then he goes 44, 15 and 5 in a loss, 29, 14 and 8 in a win. Brilliant. 20 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. They get smoked in game 7. I just think there were moments that were left out there.
But so your take is still that like he should have, if he does more, they win. It's not like how the hell did they push it to seven? Because I think I've kind of went more towards the latter, which I was not at, when we talked about the first time.
Here's what I would say. If he won that series, they probably win the title. And then he is slotted as one of the 10 greatest players in NBA history. And I feel as if Jokic gets grace where losing in round two to the eventual champion, we're doing, it was so impressive. It's almost the same as making a finals. And I can't get there. I cannot get there. I'm not using it as a demerit, right? I'm not coming on here and telling you this guy's out of my top 25. Where's the postseason success? But he was a little bit better a level away from legitimately, like, people would argue, comfortably top 10, maybe room for more. If he would have eliminated OKC, he also comes in, I think, next season as the MVP favorite.
Yeah.
Like,
You think SGA is a favorite next year?
yeah, I do. I think it's, we've obviously talked a lot of MVP already on the show, but I think I think Shai will be booked as the favorite. I think then Jokic, Giannis, and Luka in some order. You know, it depends on some offseason moves and things like that. But this is even the interesting thing, right? Like, because this is the conversation around Shai. Is it just that Shai's teammates project better than Jokic? Because it's not that Shai's averaging 27, 5-5, and they're going to win a title. Like, through the first two games of the finals, J-Dub and Chet are getting failing marks on four, you know, as two guys that I'm really in on. Like, this isn't a situation where we look at it and you're like, oh, come on, if Jokic was on the court instead of Shai, they would be winning these games by 40.
I think some of the highs for OKC, like especially in the Minnesota series, the highs are so high where they really do look like that 68 win team. That's going to have, they're going to have one of the best, win percentages of all time, assuming they win. This would be really funny if now like Indiana rattles off like three straight wins, but they're not going to. But so I think like when it's really like at its peak, then it's just like how did Jokic take this to seven? But you are right. Like there were also a lot of games where like they don't look like another team, but they just look like a good team.
I'll put it to you like this though, right? I guess this is the other way I'll put it. And I again, every time I bring up LeBron relative to Jokic, it should be seen as a compliment. When LeBron beat Boston in seven that year, he was alone. Like he was totally alone in the conference finals, and they got, you know, swept by Golden State in the finals. You look at it and you're like, I mean, what more could any human being have done? My only thing with Jokic is I don't look back at that series, oh, in its totality, and look at the rest of the Nuggets as they were bad. I thought Gordon, Brown, Murray was a shake. We've done the Murray. Murray was like shakier than you'd want. I thought, considering the injuries, Porter Jr. should be getting far more praise for the series. I didn't think the takeaway from that series was those guys were atrocious. And I just feel like that's how it's like being reshaped.
I don't think they were. I just feel like the takeaway was more that like they had five guys, like we had four and a half players by the end of it. Like, I think that's more of it, right? Like you do see a lot of the tweets. It's like, how did Jokic take three players to the brink with OKC? The LeBron comparison, like that 2018 LeBron series, I think might be like I'm not like the biggest LeBron guy, especially back then, but like my favorite LeBron series because of how dominant he was. I would never compare any really any player to like that version of LeBron in 2018, but like also like that Celtics team was nowhere near as good as OKC. So like I'm not gonna, I don't think it's like an apples to apples, but like I do see what you're saying. Like I don't know, like I think it's fine. Like if it's even like 1A, 1B, like I don't think there even has to be like a clear. Like I'm happy that this is a conversation and not like is Shea the face of the league. It's better just be like the best player.
Yeah, no, that's irrelevant to me. I really, because I don't think the answer, by the way, of face of the league isn't either of them anyway, right? I think Shai's closer than Jokic because, like, I think Shai can project as more interesting than Jokic in the way that people want. But again, that's not the point of it. And yeah, I'm not trying to, by the way, hey, you know, Kev, rank the best players in the world. Shai won, Jokic too, right? Like, I'm not doing this thing. You know what I think is fascinating, and maybe one of the reasons the Shai crusade, if you will, is something I feel more passionate on. I think you're going to see places still rank him like behind Giannis. And
Well, that's
like,
wrong. Like it's two at worst. But that was going to the series too.
I mean, I thought that was coming into the season, quite frankly, because Giannis is just lack of availability, but that's, you know, a whole other thing. So look, the Shai excellence. It's incredible, and it's allowed. That's the thing, kind of, for OKC in this series. This is why I love this series. Every possible outcome fascinates me, and I thought to myself, like, as this series goes on, I'm going to get a real handle on it, and I'm going to be able to confidently tell you who wins games two, three, four, no problem. And now I'm sat here. It's like, I don't know. Maybe OKC should have won both of the first two games by 30, and again, like Dagnall's weirdly benching Chet, which I can't stand. J-Dub is not playing well enough, flatly. And like the Caruso Wiggins games, obviously those two won't combine for 38 next game, but no team is more equipped to make up for that somewhere else. So I will still be stunned if the Pacers do not win a game on their home floor. But like, There's certainly evidence through the first two games that those games could be ugly.
You'd be stunned if they'd lost game three and four.
Based on going into the series, yes. The Thunder still haven't covered a road game yet. Their biggest road win, I believe, is by six.
Oh, wow.
If I'm not mis- hold on, I'll pull it up real quick. It's really crazy, like the road performances for this team. So at Memphis, they win by six. That was the comeback. That was the draft night. I
Yeah, I
remember
remember
that.
that. Yeah.
You came in, you're like, you saw what they did, right?
I came in at, well, I came in at halftime. They were down by 30.
yeah. They win the closeout game by two. They go to Denver. They lose two of the games in Denver, and they win another by five. And then they go to Minnesota. They lose one of them by 42 points. And they win the other by two. They have one win by more than 5 points on the road.
That is pretty crazy.
It doesn't feel like that, right? And that's
No.
why I try not to get like wrapped up in their home performances because I don't know, based on who they are, it's almost disappointing they didn't win one of the first two games by 30.
Yeah, I mean that is a good point actually. Because what do they have, two losses at home now?
Yes,
One
both by
and
one.
one. Yeah. And so what is it? What Indiana's at home is what? They won two of the three Knicks games. They won.
Two of the three. No, they split against the Cavs, and
Yep.
then they went 3-0 against Milwaukee at home.
I don't know. Like I really don't know. Like I came into game one, and this is again like not watching a ton of the actual games. So like came into game one thinking the spread was too high. Indiana's gonna hang around, hang around. Indiana's just not a team that you can really blow out, as we've seen. And they did. Obviously, they hung around to the, you know, nth degree, 10th degree, nth degree, whatever the saying is. And then game two, I actually thought that Indiana had more of a chance, and you know, that didn't really end up panning out. I wouldn't be like shocked though, because I think OKC is better. And like again, it's just falling to the trap of a guy who picked against Indiana all four rounds. So like I don't know, like there is the easy take that like, well, OKC was up by 20,
Yeah.
so why can't they do that every game? But like that just doesn't happen. So obviously, like I would be stunned if one of these two games wasn't really close and didn't come down to the wire. But like, I still give the edge to OKC
Can I
in
tell
both.
you the most underrated performance of these entire playoffs? And it's a performance that I know I underrated for sure. Again, despite having these Pacers tickets, it's game four against the Cavs. Because I know I came on here after they lost the Cleveland series, after Cleveland was eliminated. I was like, nah, they would have won if they were healthy. And I know you agreed with me. They didn't, you know, and you look, 129, one, you know, 100. 109, whatever. That game was 80-39 at half.
Yeah.
The only time their backs were really against the wall this postseason was that game at home because Cleveland should have won game two, got their guys back, and dominated in game three. And it's like, well, if they win game four, then we're just nowhere near as good as this team. And they were up 41 points at half. Like, this is the thing about the Pacers and this their unpredictability, Joe. They might beat OKC by 20 in one of these games.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like
They're
that should be possible, but like the evidence is there.
not. They are obviously by far the most unpredictable team game to game I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And based on that, like that you've brought this new information to me that OKC is not, you know, like I can't believe it's six is the biggest margin of victory. I would have thought at least one double digit. I don't know. I still really like I think it's one of those things where like if you take like I give OKC like a 70-30 advantage in both games, so if whatever you want to average out that parlay to being. I really, like, I don't know. Like, I think I'm kind of done saying really. Like, really is like far too strong for anything. Like, I think that OKC will win the next two games. I think OKC is going to win in five, but I didn't think OKC was going to lose game one.
I'm now because I'm a dork doing the odds to probability just because you asked me to.
70-70.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be like 64, right? It's 140 out of
It's
200.
plus 104 is what that would come out to, essentially, for them to win both
So plus
games.
104 to win, I would take that.
But also, yeah, no, I mean, listen, that's honestly, yeah, you probably, I get that. I mean, I just think that, listen, again, it's this, the Pacers, their unpredictability. is remarkable. We're gonna, like I said, we're gonna do a game three best bet and everything. If it does get to six, I'll probably bet the Pacers on the side, just because I laid three with OKC in game four against Minnesota just to watch them win and not cover and all that nonsense of it all. Can I? So it's funny, you just mentioned the face of the league stuff. Halliburton is way higher up that list than I think anybody is going to be comfortable with. And maybe he'll be in free fall if they're irrelevant next year. But you look at these shows, and I use air quotes for that. Halliburton is exactly what they want because they can lead constantly with him. They can lead with him because of the moments, and they can lead with him because of the bad games. And they can, oh, whoa, a great game and their success. Like the thing with sometimes, like take Shea, for example, right? In game number one, again, like those people, they can't lead with, well, he's got to be better. You didn't get enough out of Shea. He scored 38. You know what I mean? That's never going to happen. And there's just not a, well, the Dagnall substitutions, you get a little bit of it, right? But Halliburton is essentially giving them what they want, which is easy chirons. Does Halliburton need to be better? Like that is, it's so perfect for them. And the thing about Halliburton and why it almost stinks is I actually don't think there's many people I want to listen to talk about him, because I don't think there's a lot of people who seemingly understand Tyrese Halliburton. You cannot, and I know this is an annoying thing to say, but you cannot just get the full picture of the guy off of a box score. His game two performance, the first half was bad, flatly. He did nothing in the third quarter. Statistically, he was much better, more decisive. He was getting the ball into dangerous spots. Miles Turner couldn't hit threes for him in certain moments, but he was, and that's why the fourth quarter burst made a little more sense, because you could see how much more decisive he was in quarter number three. I heard someone say, ah, that stat line doesn't tell the story. I kind of think it does. He was all right in the game. He was nowhere near good enough for the basketball team. But again, a 17 and 6 game, yeah, that's about what Halliburton played.
Yeah, like so from the face of the league perspective, he is obviously the dream for the content creators out there that want to talk about, or like the First Take type shows, to put it more bluntly. Like, guy that has the ball in his hands all the time, everything revolves through him. Obviously, he has like the polarization part of it. Like, again, like yeah, it probably does fall off a cliff if like they're not good next year, which I don't think they will be. I think there's a chance that the favorites to win the East, but like. So I don't know, like what does it mean for Halliburton if they lose this like 4-1? Like is he's still like one of the biggest winners of the playoffs? Like if they win the championship, he goes to such another level, and now it's like, oh my gosh, this guy's a top five player in the league. But like, it's still such a weird run in that.
He
Like I
needs
don't know.
one great game. He has to clip 30 at once in this series, I think. I think that that's important for him in terms of his standing within the league. Or at least like, 25 and 12, right? So I shouldn't just say 30, but he has to have one of those games,
Yeah.
right? I think that's fair to say. Can I ask you this? Are you comfortable saying he's one of the clutchest players in the history of the NBA?
History? Not off of like a 1-year run. I mean, he was clutch last year too, but like.
But I just, yeah, like, I don't know, like, what more? I understand it's a 1-year run, but it's also, you don't usually get this many samples of it in 1 year.
Right.
I
So
just don't
like,
know what else you have to do.
well, so like Dirk, right? Like Dirk had one playoff run where he was really clutch, and like a lot that he wasn't. Like, is Dirk one of the clutchest players of all time off of 11? Like, I don't think so.
That's interesting.
To be fair, Halliburton hasn't had the failures of Dirk, where Dirk came
The
up
funny
short.
thing, though, is I think Dirk 11, if you were to just generally ask someone, hey, is Dirk clutch? I think people would say yes.
Yes, off of 2011.
But I also, now, to be fair, I also think truly we should stop having this conversation, because one of the clutchest players in the history of the NBA for half of his career was described as not clutch. So it's kind of a pointless conversation.
Right. Well, I also think it's funny too, where like You like you've been saying when you talk about like they're going to lead the shows and all that. Like my mind immediately goes to regular season, where like every LeBron game is broken down like it's a Cowboys game. Like literally like it's every Monday morning Cowboys game. Like that, I think we need to like reframe like what like face of the league is going to even mean. Like we're never going to have anyone like LeBron again. Like there's never going to be anyone that matters remotely, especially the way the NBA has been trending with the regular season. No regular season games are going to be matter or worth leading. We'll talk about the championship rematch. We'll talk about guys that get traded or on the move. Like if a guy gets to like a Steph level where he can be like a number two to LeBron where he has four championships, or Durant where he's moved around a million times and is a top 10 player, but a top 15 player of all time. But like we're never going to see anything close to LeBron from like a face of the league standpoint. So it's almost like not even worth. Like I guess Luka would be the closest to that because like the Lakers will be discussed on the day to day more than anybody else.
So let me ask you this on that, right? We will never see anybody be the face of the league for this long again. But do you think, like, I remember the first time I saw kind of the idea of like, we're at the point now where these guys are hurting the growth of the game. And again, as a LeBron guy, like, my initial reaction is to be angry and be like, but then you kind of step back. And the thing is, those shows still lead with LeBron. You know, so I was doing, it's fun. I was doing some like work on a show for us maybe in a couple weeks on just like the big questions surrounding each team. And the reality is, like, what's the big Laker question? And some people are like, ah, Luka extension, Reeves get. No, the big question is this LeBron's last year? And here's the thing, and I don't care. That's the biggest question in the entire sport. Because if the answer is yes, that's the biggest thing that'll happen all next season. If he announces before the year, it's his final year. But what does it look like when he is gone? Like, if you just for a second pretend he's going to retire this offseason, Tim Duncan style, which isn't going to happen, and all of a sudden I tell you Giannis gets traded to San Antonio, I really believe the freak show of Giannis and Wemby together, I think that should supplant. I think that, again, not to LeBron level, but that's can't miss in a Durant join the Warriors way to me. Or at least around, again, Durant was going to a 73 win team, but like Giannis and Wemby on the same team, that first game should be on opening night. They should play the Thunder on opening night if he is on the Spurs.
Yeah, I think they would. Like, I don't think it's anywhere near KD to the Warriors, to be honest. But
Okay.
I think that they would do that. But like, what's the take though? I still just don't get what like a post-LeBron world even like remotely looks
I
like.
guess my thing is, right, like, okay, here's how I put it to you. Right now, I would probably tell you the Lakers are favored to get the game against the Thunder. If LeBron retires, I don't think they're giving it to Luka. I think they would give it to Giannis and Wemby, I think.
I agree. I think it could be the Spurs either way, even without Giannis.
Interesting. Yeah, I
With if
mean,
LeBron was gone, I think it will go to the Lakers.
I just hope, like, I think my thing is, like, when we're trying to figure out, again, if you're figuring it out in like a normal way, not in a Anthony Edwards off court way,
Right.
I do think it is silly that we keep having this conversation while the face of the league is in the league. Like, it'd be one thing if you were having the con, because, like, so again, like, you know, Michael was Michael, right? And then whatever the period is where you're like, hey, who's going to now be the face of the league once he retires? But we're having this conversation while LeBron is still in the league. Like, I don't know. So that's why that whole thing is silly. And I think to the regular season point of it, right? Yeah, it's probably bizarre to think that they're going to lead shows with Shea or Halliburton because they're going to still lead shows with at the end with Steph and LeBron. Like, that's what they're still gonna do it, or Durant's next team, that's but the thing is, those guys are, I would say, barreling towards pretty interesting seasons next year, to where it's like, I don't know, I can't even like crush those things being a lead story. I don't know. A lot of this is going to come down to the offseason and what we are left with, I think. Because it's hard to know right now with all the wink, wink, nudge, nudge offseason conversations. Like, what's going to be the lead thing this offseason? I don't know. We might get six of them.
I mean, KD feels like he's the answer, right? But that could be, especially if that's going to happen when they say it's going to happen. By the time we get to July, Giannis obviously supplants that. And we'll get into it, but I don't know. I really don't know what the Giannis thing. I think that we're going to see a lot of just moves that no one's expecting right now. Like almost at the Towns level last year, where it's like all-star level player gets traded somewhat out of nowhere. And I think we see that maybe three or four times in the offseason.
Let me throw this your way, because obviously I said my answer. I guess you kind of have as well. Do you think it's more likely the series goes five or seven?
I think five. I really hope it goes seven because I think it'll be really fun.
Yeah.
But OKC's just better. But again, what does that mean? I thought every team was better than Indiana. But I think it is five. I think that as fluky as you can get with these Indiana losses, OKC is the one that was not the most fluky. Obviously, there wasn't the shot that bounced 50 feet in the air, or even the crazy chokes or anything. But OKC, I thought played the best of the teams, and if that makes sense, maybe just because of the best teams. I think if you play the series 50 times, it's more often four or five than six or seven, way more often.
Again, I push seven because I think the answer is six. I just can't see them losing both at home based on all the evidence. But like every Pacer win is going to feel like a miracle to some degree. Can I say this though? Just I think the Thunder win was easily the least fluky is not the word I want to use. I'm talking about like if you just pause time and watch it back, the Thunder one is the one that made the most sense. The Cavs couldn't get the ball across half court like an AAU team who's never seen a press. Like that was in the Knicks thing was bizarre because Nesmith was taking in threes. My brother texted me about this. He goes, he was kicking his leg out. It was an offensive foul three times, but they didn't call it. And in the real time, like obviously they didn't call it. Who cared? But then you just like go back and you're like, this is nuts. How did like he was making shots that didn't matter.
Yeah, that is funny. I didn't say that right. I think I maybe this is just because we come away from all three of those series. And maybe it's the other way around. It's the most fluky to me that OKC just would never lose that game again. I don't know, the Knicks one actually made sense in hindsight. They fired their coach. The Cavs one, that team was a mess by the end of that series. The Bucks is just whatever. That series was whatever. I don't know. It just feels like
It's funny. I
I'm not even sure
agree
what I'm
with
trying to
what you're.
say.
No, no,
Indiana's
no.
broken my brain.
Well, one, they have done that to everyone. And that's why I adore them. I think kind of the idea is, listen, okay, fine, that happened once. It'll never happen again. It's literally how they've lost their two games at home, though, which is one of the reasons, again, that I was like, I think this has to go longer because I think I'm not even sure Dagnall's now that good of a coach.
I think I agree with that.
Like, I'm now. He's young. I would not fire. Okay, so I said he was on the hot seat if they lost the series. The thing is, I don't think they're going to lose the series. So he's going to be an NBA champion. I would just keep him forever. By the way, like, I would keep Mazzulla forever. Just let him figure it out. He's super young. You've switched coaches too much in the last few years. Like, Spoelstra nearly got fired. Miami kept him forever.
Who did
And
that?
it obviously worked out. You want to do the Me Defend LeBron podcast on the Spoelstra firing? Because we can.
Sports grid podcast.
It's just the tagline. It's how you keep the people happy. But again, like there is just a huge gap right now between Dagnall
And Carl,
and
yeah. I mean, Carlisle is
he's the best coach in the league right now, right?
yeah.
Who do
He
you?
has to be.
Yeah.
Spoelstra didn't make the playoffs. I think that has to be the take.
Yeah.
And he's been the winner of the playoffs for me. Him and Haliburton and Shea. He's been the most impressive guy.
Playoff winners list. Yeah, there's something there. Well,
Behind
yeah.
Jokic, obviously.
Well, you saw your guy try to do that, right?
Who?
At the end of game one, Bill.
No.
Didn't see that?
I'm behind on the episodes. It was that this past
It
Sunday?
was actually really awesome. Bill Simmons was with was with Zach Lowe, and he was kind of just like, they're just reacting to that crazy game. And he just goes, I had written down winners, Jokic. But then you can also hear he's like, I shouldn't be doing this because the Thunder lost and this is ridiculous. So it was just like 15 seconds. And then Lowe is like, well, I don't really understand how that makes any sense.
That's good. I actually didn't see that. I was being dead serious and watching.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. All right, here's what we're gonna do. Let's just put a game three best bet on the board for everybody, and then we're gonna talk some Knicks head coach. I've gone through. I have a couple things that are already in. If you have any thoughts on these, feel free. I am gonna play Pascal for 20 plus points. That's at minus 102 right now over on FanDuel. I think he's just as much as Pascal has been given out too much credit, in my opinion, because I'm still bothered about the conference finals MVP. I think he's too good to have that game too and not bounce back at home, backs up against the walls. I think you'll see Siakam go for 20. Two straight games without 20. That's the first time that happened since the early goings of the Cavs series. I think that flips. I'm playing Chet Holmgren on the defensive side of the basketball. Over half a steal plus money, over 2.5 steals plus blocks at plus money. He has not had three straight games without a steal. We are coming off of that situation. And he has not had three straight games without at least three stocks. We're also coming off that situation. So I'm playing them both. The best bet, though, Joe, it's SGA under 33.5 points at minus 106. Maybe he scores 33. Good for him. He has not had four straight games of 34 plus points until the two closeout against Minnesota and then the two that have started this series. He's not had five straight at any point in this entire season. So this is the best scoring run of his entire season, which good for him. But now you go to the road where he's under that number in 5 of 7, averages 28.3 points per game on the road. I'm not telling you Shea is going to be awful, but I don't think he scores 35 in this game, so I'm on Shea for a best bet under game three, 33.5.
Like that. I'm going to root them all in for you.
Thanks, pal.
And a side that you'll like, and maybe you heard this too. Weird on TL on the early line, we're talking about
Oh,
this
gosh.
before the series.
Oh,
And
gosh.
Donnie was like making the case for like why Shea's the one MVP. And it was something like if they win all four games in blowouts and he plays like 25 minutes a game, like and Isaiah Joe is the leading scorer, like they wouldn't give it to Isaiah Joe, right? Like it was such a crazy take, like with the idea that like SGA would one ever play 25 minutes in a game and two wouldn't win MVP if they won this sweep. It was very funny. It was a good Donnie take.
But here's the thing, like we are now in a world, I think, where good Donnie takes are actually the worst takes you've ever heard. Because he also like he led a show the other day, and I know it's dangerous to open this, but for anyone that doesn't know, Friezo, the biggest tennis guy for real, he
Yeah.
opens the radio show on Monday with, here's what we need in tennis: no more serves over 80 miles an hour, and get an American in the finals automatically.
So he debuted the serve thing on TL, too many aces. Meanwhile, like that 5.5 hour match had 15 aces, which is like incredibly low for a 5 hour match.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about at all.
We had to combat Donnie on a we have an intern on TL, Jesse. Shout out to Jesse, and he likes tennis as well. So we knew that Donnie was going
Double J.
to distract Donnie was going to destroy the tennis. So we planned. We got in Ben's ear. We spread out 7 and 7 to put two separate headlines for Alcaraz and Coco. We had B-roll ready that was the play over Ben talking. So we weren't going to let Donnie steamroll the segment, and he tried, but to no avail.
Also, just to make that statement while then an American in Coco Gauff played in the
It
women's
wins,
final,
yeah.
it's just again, it's I mean, but that's Donnie. That's he's just like he shows up, he's like, make me commissioner. And then it's like, you are the least prepared person of all time for this job interview, sir. You are not commissioner of anything. All right, so we're gonna do some offseason again. Best bet for game three is SGA under 33.5 points. That's at minus 106. If it does get up by some chance, to like 35 and a half, I will bet it again. But hopefully this is the best of the number under 33 and a half SGA. Podcast break will come right back. What is going on with the Knicks?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so the New York Knicks fire Tom Thibodeau. Talked about that already here on the show. And I want to start with Joe, who, again, knowledgeable plus Knicks fan. Where were you, you know, what was your take me to the world of Joe Frieza when you found out Tom Thibodeau was fired?
Was lying in bed, got the alert. Instant reaction was like it wasn't shocking, right? It's one of the weirdest moments in recent coaching firing history, I think, in any sport, where it happens to simultaneously everyone's like, yeah, of course it happened, but also like, what the hell? Like, why did it happen? Clearly there was no coming back from game one. They lose game six, and the articles are already out about how much of a disaster Thibodeau and Cat are within the organization, like as soon as the game is over. The writing was on the wall. I think both things can be true, where it's like, yeah, he was a really good coach and he got him there. And I've heard some people say that he was Buck Showalter with the Yankees. I'm not sure I'm gonna go that far, where the Knicks are gonna, win the championship next year. But it is weird because he was a good coach and they don't get to this spot without him. But I think he had to go. There's nothing wrong with needing a new voice. This team, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, the team got so close to the championship, we have to bring him back. They had a really good path. We said before the series started that if they lose to Indiana with home court 2 years in a row when they're favored, how could he come back? And that's what happened. So I wasn't upset by it. I wasn't shocked by it. It was more honestly, the moment it happened, how quickly it happened, which now in hindsight, it's like, why wouldn't it have happened so fast? But I don't know, that's my takeaway from it. It's just yeah, it happened. And I'm not, maybe the age, will hold him back from getting another job, but normally if he was maybe 5 years younger, he would, if there's more jobs out there, he'd get hired again. He's not a bad coach. He didn't do a bad job for the Knicks. He is the Knicks' best coach in, you can make the case that he's the Knicks' best coach since they won a championship in the 70s. I think you actually could say that. And it was still time to make a change. So I was fine with it. Again, I wasn't as down on him as I think everyone, a lot of Knicks fans were, but I wasn't like, oh, we have to bring him back and develop something here. Because, develop what? I was ready to fire him and trade Towns. I'm still ready to do that. I think the Knicks are still a ways to go from actually winning a championship. Because if they weren't going to win it this year, then when are they? You're not going to be able to run it back and just do this again and hope the same things break your way and you still lose.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's, you know, truly credit to me for basically making it very clear how much of a nightmare it was going to be if they lost to the Pacers again. And clearly they felt that in the organization. But I do think the biggest thing of it all is their thought process is we need to be in the finals next year. And we need to hope somehow a change could get us closer. I think this team would rather they'll take the risk that they're eliminated in round one because their new coach stinks. You know, if maybe that new coach comes in and it's just awesome. We've seen year one head coach success in this league, right? Again, Nurse, Toronto, Kerr, and Golden State, Lou, obviously, with Cleveland. But by the way, it's not just like, and those are guys that have won it. Like Mazzulla had success with Boston. Atkinson had success, of course, with Cleveland this past year. So I think all of that is really, really real. I thought that it was a quick decision in real time. I still kind of do. It's just that I thought that it was a quick decision to give Johnny Bryant the job.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was avoiding to say that. If you had told me they were going to fire him and then we're now a week later, I would have said it was like a minus 5,000 that they would have the coach by now. And I don't want to jump the gun, but the whole idea of this was we're going to fire our coach to get I'm not sure Jason Kidd's even a better coach, and we're going to try to trade a pick to get him. That was the master plan. If you're going to fire Thibodeau like that so abruptly, fine. But you would have thought it was either for the Johnny Bryant thing to stop him from taking the Phoenix job, or it would be like, okay, we have Jeff Van Gundy waiting in the wings and he's ready to go, or we have Michael Malone is ready and he's taking it. It's kind of crazy to me that there's still no coach yet, and this isn't going to end again. I'll say this now and they'll hire somebody before the episode gets posted tomorrow, tonight,
Hopefully
but
not.
I hope not, but it doesn't seem like the hire is coming within the next couple of days even, which is
Well,
really weird.
okay. Again, I think we're safe because their process is clearly reaching out to teams that already are employing people. I really want to open up that idea. So here, okay. Let's just get right into it then. The Knicks are linked to Jason Kidd. Apparently, there is mutual interest from Jason Kidd. We also heard that the Knicks were interested in Chris Finch and Ime Udoka as well. So just quickly, mini victory lap that I shouldn't have even been allowed to take. Obviously, Jay Wright was never getting this job. What a stupid thing that people even suggested. Now, as far as the Ime Finch Kidd situation, it doesn't look like Finch is actually interested in leaving Minnesota. I don't think he should. Stick with Anthony Edwards, and I don't think Minnesota has any interest in letting him go. I know Jason Kidd is the more realistic of the outcomes, but can I focus on Ime Udoka for a second? Because anyone who buys it, there's like, oh, the Houston situation is better. I'm not sure that's true. Like, everyone is saying Giannis should stay east, so why shouldn't Ime Udoka try to go east? That's one. The other thing is, and this is, I feel, very well understood, Ime did not want to be the Rockets head coach. He wanted to be the Celtics head coach.
Yeah.
And he had an off-court affair and ultimately cost him his job. But it's not like Ime has been ousted out of basketball. He pretty quickly became the Rockets head coach. I am pretty sure, maybe I'm wrong, that Ime Udoka would prefer to be the Knicks coach than the Rockets coach. Because Ime Udoka is the guy who drafted Reed Sheppard at 3 and then refused to play him. He has no interest in doing anything other than winning the most games, day number one. The Knicks are going to have a higher win total than the Rockets next year, barring a huge trade for the Rockets in that core. That's just the what it is. Why is it, what is it that allows college, like the coach at UC San Diego, just throwing out of school, gets called by Kentucky, and it's like, yeah, I'm obviously leaving.
Yeah.
Why can't Ime Udoka be like, yeah, I want to be the Knicks coach, thanks? Like, it's just the rules of it all?
Well, because he physically can't. I mean, he can't just leave, right? They have to trade for him. Like, Doc Rivers got traded for, I believe it was a first-round pick when he went from Boston to L.A. And, yeah. But, like, it is true, right? Like, if this was college, like, Dagnall would be, like, the coach of, like, the Bulls right now. Like, I don't know, like, the Bulls. Like, the Lakers wouldn't do it with Redick, but, like, the Knicks, the Bulls.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You just, like, go and just be gone. And, like, you just absorb that coach. It is funny. We just don't ever see it. Like is Udoka then even worth like a first round pick if they even have any left? Like, yeah, I think so probably. But it is a weird concept that doesn't really play out that like coaches can't leave. But like again, like well, players can't just leave on their own. But like it would be really funny if a coach
yeah.
Like what if it worked the other way where Udoka like demanded a trade? And like so did we have that happen?
I'm very confused because I thought Ime would have been more likely to say, get me out of here. I thought Jason Kidd was going to have job security. I feel like Jason Kidd will be there forever since he sat through the Luka stuff.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he wants to leave.
But if you're Jason Kidd, like, what does Jason Kidd care? Like, is he, he's never going to be out of a job. He'll be an assistant or a head coach, or doesn't care because it doesn't really matter if he's a head coach or not. I think it speaks really poorly. And again, like, not that Dallas needed anything to happen for me to think that it's a disaster over there. But it does speak really poorly to them. It's like, hey, we have generational prospect coming in, but do you want to go coach, you know, a $300 million roster? Like, yeah, but like I think that the Kidd stuff has something to do with Giannis. I think Kidd was like a really like sneaky, like good Nick in 2011. Like he was beloved by the fan base, like or not 2011, obviously, the year he won the title in 2013 with that, you know, really good Knicks team. And one of my favorite players on that team for sure. Obviously, he has great relationship with his players. We saw what happened with the Lakers. We saw what happened with, you know, him in New York with the Nets.
Giannis.
Yeah, like the Giannis thing is obviously number one. Like, I think that's what it is. I think it's probably some kind of weird package deal where, like, you know, I'm in on that, but like, is Kidd that much better of a coach than Thibodeau? Is Kidd even a better coach than Thibodeau? I don't know. And I don't really get it from his side either. Like, unless it's like a Giannis guarantee. And again, everyone should want to coach the Knicks, the Celtics, the Lakers, whatever, because those jobs matter more. But like, the Dallas job isn't that unappealing unless they told him they're going to trade Flag when the next Anthony Davis comes available.
Huge ball drop by me. We should have just done like most attractive job openings in the league. If you just made every job open, like the Thunder would be one, the Spurs maybe would be two. The Mavericks are pretty high up there for me just because they have Cooper Flag now. Like that's what I think of Cooper. Again, plus you kind of have a situation where you can still win some games this year at a legitimate level. So that's
like, is that like, a coach trade? Just off of what you just said?
Yeah.
This would obviously never happen. Shouldn't J.J. Redick be the Mavericks coach? Like, shouldn't he be coaching Cooper Flagg and just send Jason Kidd to coach Luka again? Him and LeBron, one last dance? Like, wouldn't that make more sense?
Who says no?
I
LeBron
think
says
yes.
ye.
I think he says
Does
yes.
JJ say yes? No, I think you have to stick with Luka, right?
JJ was in Dallas for a little bit, but he was obviously there with Cuban. Yeah, you're right.
No, listen, I think it's really interesting. Here's the funny thing. It's like I wouldn't want to go be the guy under Nico because all that chaos, but like Nico's probably not going anywhere.
No, he better not.
Like,
He somehow is like the most job security in the league because they have no choice.
so this was gonna be, I told you I was doing like the questions thing. I'm burning a couple on the show, but that's fine. But more likely, Nico gets extended or fired. I think it's
Extended.
extended.
That's why Anthony Davis is like the most untradeable player in the league. Like they have to just be bought in on that.
Yeah.
Like I'd be more shocked if they traded Flagg than Davis. We talked about that before.
Yeah, no, that's really how it feels.
And now with Flagg, Nico will literally never lose his job because they're not going to be bad. Like they would have had to get out of jail if they're like a disaster next year. And
Right,
it's like,
right.
oh, we really have to reset. We have to fire everybody. Now that's never going to happen.
No, I mean they're kind of, yeah, they're set up enough, I guess. We'll see. You know, until everyone gets hurt, right? And then it's like, oh, well, actually, he can't have the job because he doesn't know how to hire doctors. And then it's like, never mind.
I mean, that is an underrated, serious part of it. Like the what happened in that whole article that I think it was Tim McMahon wrote about what happened with the medical stuff. Like it is a serious thing that, or like it's taken very seriously, obviously around the league too. That he completely
Yeah.
botched, maybe in a vacuum worse than the Luka thing. Whatever happened with the medical stuff there, which led to the Luka trade.
Right. And that's obviously where it's like you can't trust that organization. Was it like Phoenix or something? There was a place where it's like, I don't know, if you go there, you're just gonna play 82 games.
Yeah,
Like
no,
they
Phoenix are really good because they what
it
they did
was
with Grant
Phoenix,
Hill.
right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, my whole thing is I'm very surprised that of the coaches they wanted, it is Kidd that is seemingly close and not Ime. Like Ime, like it's just been quiet. Like I guess maybe if you're Udoka, like don't let out you want to leave if they're not gonna let you leave, right? Like
It's such a weird spot, right, for the coach because, but like I don't know, like this is now it's such a player driven league, but like. Is an owner or a GM going to be like, no, we're not letting you go? Like, that just is a weird situation then for everybody if they have to come back and coach the team if they don't want to be there anymore.
yeah.
It's almost amazing it doesn't happen more often, to be honest.
I know that's kind of, it was one of those like moment because you just don't see situations like this, right? But the second it happened, I was like, oh, I don't know. Ime should be able to be the Knicks coach tomorrow. Like, it's just, why not open that up? But then you're
But that,
right.
I mean,
Like,
but that can't happen because he's under contract, yeah.
it's just too much of a floodgates type of thing.
Can we trade Cat for Ime? Maybe that's what they get out of this.
So let me, but you alluded to the package deal thing, right? So this has always been my defense of the Clippers on the Paul George trade. Every single indication was Kawhi said, you have to do the trade or I will not sign. And I understand that the Clippers failed massively, but on that graphic that they'll use where it's like, look what they gave up for PG. It's like, well, if it was for PG and Kawhi, you wouldn't say that. If Giannis is going, if the backdoor conversations from Giannis are, if you get Jason Kidd, I will twist every arm in this building to be a Knick. You then do a, you trade whatever it is the Mavericks want for Jason Kidd. Like you could, I know this will sound ridiculous. You can give up OG Anunoby for Jason Kidd and win that deal if it's going to bring you Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to treat it as an extension of the honest trade. I'm not sure if you, I don't actually don't think you can trade players, but it really is interesting to see. Like,
Well,
you
you
can,
can't. It has to be a pick.
I think so. Like, I don't know, maybe not. Like, because I don't think I would, how would that work in the salary cap? This is a, like, what a, this is a whole separate podcast, like coach trades. Is there a coach trade machine we can use? But, like, yeah, like, you are right. If it's like give up OG, the funny thing is, if they have to give up a pick for Kidd, that's one less pick they can give up for Giannis. That makes their package less enticing. I don't know. The whole thing is weird. Like all of it is weird. Like Michael Malone's just like not having gonna have a job now is also
He has like
weird.
no traction in this race.
Yeah.
I can't. Is he terrible? Is he just like awful to be around?
So clearly he that was what happened in Denver, right? Like that probably spreads pretty fast that like
Yeah.
You don't want your team to be around this guy, but Thibodeau kind of that rep too, to be honest. But
They loved him though.
Thibodeau weirdly has like more cachet than the champion of Malone does. But I don't know. Kevin Garnett helped a lot of people in 2008. A lot of people ride high off that ring, Thibodeau included. But
Well, yeah, because the Knicks are bad at defense, and it Thibodeau's whole
yeah,
thing is
he's
def
the best defensive coach of all time.
turns out Tibbs's whole thing is point guard usage.
Yeah.
Like, that's his real.
One card over usage.
Yeah.
But like, is there a candidate out there that like, I don't know, like, if I'm gonna be honest, a Chris Paul thing that somebody put out there, kind of like that. I know that he should still play because he was pretty good last
Whoa, I
year.
didn't even see this.
Yeah, because
Breaking, breaking.
Leon Rose was his agent, so he Chris Paul will be the next guy, right, that can just retire, step right into a coaching role. Like, I didn't hate that.
Wow.
Maybe he could be a player coach.
You know what's funny? I hate that.
Really?
I'm not gonna lie to you. I absolutely despise that. I think that's insane.
I don't know, to be fair, like that's not, there's no chance it's going to happen. He wants to play next year. Why do you hate it? But why do you hate that?
Because I feel like the Knicks are make the finals or bust.
You can't just experiment.
And yeah, like, I don't know. Like, JJ Redick was out of playing for a little and was interviewing for jobs for a little. Like, Chris Paul is like 65% like on the Lakers already, I feel like, next year. So to be like, hey, actually, Knicks job,
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels a little jarring to me. But I don't know. Does that sound hypocritical as somebody who is in ish on the, in enough on the JJ move?
No, I think it's different because I think that like the Lakers fired Darvin Ham, not like we need to win a championship like the Knicks just did with Thibodeau.
Right. Yeah.
I kind of just like it from like a, I think Chris Paul is actually gonna be a really good coach, but yeah, I see what you're saying. It would be jarring for, hey, Thibodeau's gone, and then we're gonna hire a guy who's never coached before.
So does this whole thing just end with like they can't get a trade done? Sorry, Johnny, for making you wait.
Yeah, but I don't really get that either because then he's going to come back and take the job that like at that point, why didn't just like Thibodeau like coach another year and like shift in the front office? To be completely honest, that was the biggest shock to me that he got straight fired. Like, because he is old enough, he's 67, where he has a great relationship clearly with Leon Rose, and more has come out where it's like a Dolan thing and all the trickle
Yeah.
down has come out. But like, if you had told me that he would get straight up fired, I would have been surprised. Like, I really thought this could be like, okay, he's now assistant to the GM, yada yada yada. Like they would have created some role for him. And then like that's where the Johnny Bryant move makes sense. Like to just like, yeah, wait all this time and then go back and be like, hey, sorry, we're gonna bring back our old assistant coach to be our head coach when we want to take a step forward. And, like I don't know. It's like it's almost like when a team like Denver almost, for example. I know he did a really good job, the guy whose now name I'm blanking on, and he Adelman.
Adelman.
Yeah, like he did a really good job, but like I just don't understand why teams or like we need to change things up, and then we just hire from within. Like that's almost what the Johnny Bryant thing would feel like. Although maybe he's been gone long enough where it would be like reinstating a new voice. So I don't know. I still wouldn't be shocked if it's like someone that we're not even discussing, that like completely out of nowhere gets the job. Like I think like this is probably like the widest search. Like remember what team was that? That was just like interviewing. There was a football team that was like interviewing everybody, and it was just like they were bringing like the most random people ever. Like if
Oh, was it like the Vikings?
I almost feel like it was like, I don't know, I can't remember. I don't want to say the wrong team, but like
Yeah.
it was like somebody was like, we're gonna interview like 50 people, and they did, and I can't remember who they landed on. But like that's almost like if the interview stuff was more public, I think that would be the next. Like I think they're exploring every single option.
See, that's interesting because I again, I don't know, my vibe is more so if you're firing off Thibodeau, it's a little more exact. I wonder if the
Yeah, but
bringing
wouldn't that have
in.
happened already?
But I guess the other piece of this is essentially because there's some thought here that Dolan's involved.
Yeah.
So I think then it's probably like, hey, see if you can get me one of these guys. See if you can get me one of the established guys in the
But
league.
wouldn't like the coaches not tamper? Like, wouldn't they know that already? Like, I can't imagine if Jason Kidd says to the Mavericks, "I want to go to the Knicks," and the Knicks just say, "Hey, here's a first round pick." Like, I don't think that they can really say no.
I don't know how that, I don't know, but I think maybe again, like if you go, I don't know if it's excuse making, but it's like, well, why'd they fire him so quickly? Well, they had to make sure that Johnny Bryant, like at least like it was open to the job. And then like, well, why is it all slowed down? Because they're seeing if they can bring in some like a sure thing, Jason
Yeah.
Kidd, sure thing, Ime Udoka, sure thing, Chris Finch. But if that doesn't work out, they have a, you know, something in the holster already in Johnny Bryant. Here's the other piece of it that's like, I don't even know how much of a joke it is. Johnny Bryant being the only coach who will obviously keep Rick Brunson on his staff, is that a good or a bad thing?
I was about to ask you. I had two questions I was going to ask you, and one of them was going to be dead serious. Is it a big deal if Rick Brunson isn't on the bench next year? I kind of think it is.
I think it's a, I do think it's a big deal. I
Yeah.
think, I mean, listen, you know, this will be a no surprise take for me. I think the Rick Brunson stuff's a far bigger deal than Bronny. You know, would everybody,
No. No.
no, from people, in terms of people acting like the Bronny thing was a disgrace and ruining things. Bronny literally is just good vibes, takes up a roster spot that nobody else would take up of, and is a 19-year-old with the best genetics in the history of the league who maybe could turn into a guy who plays 11 minutes a night. Rick Brunson is the superstar player's dad whose credentials are questionable and
No,
seemingly has a huge voice in terms of what's going on.
I don't think that's fair. Should he be a coach is another question because of some stuff that's gone on in his past. But he's been with Tibbs for a long time. Like, it's not like they brought him in because Brunson was there. He's been a Thibodeau assistant for, like a decade. I think it's too harsh. Does he have too big of a voice? I think probably it's probably bigger than we would imagine. And like that DiVincenzo video, that remember the one that they had like the lip reading on or like the audio on where he
Yeah.
talked about like that's when they let you run the show? Like it seemingly is like a thing, but
This
like,
dude was at Camden High School before Tibbs brought him back in.
well, but that's not because of that's because of what
Yeah.
happened. He
All right.
has allegations against him,
Gotcha.
which he kind of like was out, which is a whole other story. And why should he even be back? But like,
Yeah.
I like Jalen Brunson. I don't take as like the guy to like get upset about that. Like if he's gone, but I think it is a weird
Really?
situation. I don't think so.
I think if your dad's like on the staff and then is all of a sudden not on the staff, that's weird.
But like his dad was on the staff because of Tibbs, not because of Jalen. And then bigger picture, his dad's on the staff because of Leon Rose, which is also why Tibbs was a coach of the team. Like it's just a new regime.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I think they're all connected. Like, I don't think Rick being on the staff, I don't think Rick being on the staff and is unconnected to Jalen.
Well, well,
Like everything
he
was
won't get another job. He's not going to be like a, he's on a new team. Maybe they can just like move him to the second row, just move him back a bench.
it feels like
Maybe he could be the guy.
everything.
He can be the assistant to the GM that they create the role for. You want my second question? That's not Rick
Yeah.
Brunson.
Yeah.
How big a deal is this for Cooper Flagg if now all of a sudden the Mavericks have no coach going to the draft?
Good take.
Right?
Good question. Yeah, I actually think if you are Cooper Flagg and Jason Kidd gets traded, you have to call Caleb Williams's father and be like, what did you,
What book was that?
yeah, what can we do here? Like, how close did you get? What pulled you back? Because if you're Cooper Flagg, by the way, what it played out with Luka, I think there's a lot of people who assume like, oh, they learned their lesson, they'll never do that again. They also did something that nobody ever thought you needed to learn a lesson on. And one of the really, I don't know, under-discussed things, but the amount of money the Mavericks cost Luka Doncic by trading him is sizable and like largely unforgivable. It's like I've seen people like, oh, Luka's definitely gonna go back to Dallas when he can because he cried in the intro video. I'm like, he will literally never put
He
that
good
in
the other
again.
29 places.
Yeah.
But doesn't like do you think so do you think Nico's gonna like hope Kid leaves and like interview coaches and be like, do you want to trade Flag and like just be the face of like the guy that makes a trade? Because I kind of want to get Giannis. Like you
But
think he
my,
like wants out of that?
so this is the craziest part of this whole thing, right? If you are Jason Kidd, let's go a different way. You're Jason Kidd. Are you going upstairs right now saying, hey, trade Cooper for Giannis?
Oh, that's a good question. Like he's got to be smart enough that like I'm trying to look at like their staff right now. Like Jared Dudley's there. Like who becomes the head coach? Sham God, he's there. I guess Jared Dudley becomes a coach, which actually makes it even funnier. The idea that Jared Dudley would be coaching Cooper Flagg, but it's kind of surprising we haven't heard more of that. I think again, it's just like it is like the learn their lesson thing that like. even if it made sense, they couldn't do it. Like they couldn't, even if I think really, that's not true, because if Flag wasn't Flag, then like they could make the trade and it would be good, and like then it would just be a complete redemption that they got Giannis to replace Luka. The funny thing is that they tried to trade Luka for
Which they
Giannis.
reportedly could have done, by the way. Like they like that was apparently on the board.
What if they, well, I guess they wouldn't have the number one pick, but I don't know. It seems like kids more likely to go up there and say I want to be on a new team. So like, I don't even think he even cares about the Mavericks thing anymore.
I just like
It's probably, best for everyone involved if he's just gone. What really should happen is like, kids should just go to the Knicks. Nico should be like banished from the NBA, and they should just like draft Flag and we just like start this thing over. Like this might be like too far beyond repair. Or, like this team's just become like a house of horrors for everybody.
But that's why I talked so much after the lottery about them trading the pick, in spite of everyone being like, well, obviously they're not going to do that. And I understand all of the reporting since suggests they're not going to do that. But like, they made this trade with Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis, where they were like, it's about winning a title right now. And it was stupid and didn't make sense. But there were at least a couple of psychos who were like, Dallas got better today, you know? And again, all of that is wrong. But if that was the driving force between trading Luka, how are you not trading
Yeah,
Cooper
trading that
Flagg
pick,
for
yeah.
Giannis?
I wonder if Kyrie
Because
wasn't hurt. I wonder if Kyrie was healthy, what they would do.
now I have to figure out.
But still, I really don't think they could do it. I think that how could you do this to your
Why,
fan
though?
base?
But hold on. Okay. I know this is like impossible to figure out, but if you were a Maverick fan and next year, I have to see what they have to give up to get him. But next year, you have Giannis and Anthony Davis.
I'm never getting over the Luka thing. But like you do you think in hindsight that they would do that trade again, the Mavericks? I think if they knew the blowback they were gonna get, they wouldn't have done it. Like even with the win now nonsense. Like I really think that they wouldn't have done it from like an optics perspective. I think they really thought they were gonna clearly they thought that was gonna happen. Everyone's gonna be like, oh, good trade. Like I really don't think they would do that again now, even with their philosophy.
Gosh, I have no idea how I'm supposed to make this trade work. I don't even know how you make this trade work. You can't. Like, I don't even. I'm just on
What,
Fansbro
Giannis
right
for the number one pick?
now. Yeah, because you have to like get rid of salary.
Right.
You have to like trade Kyrie. Which,
Giannis
I mean, one of the funniest things of all time would be the Bucks next year having Kyrie and Lillard out for the season on their roster.
and Flag. That'd be a really fun team.
To be honest with you, that would be a fun team if when those two came back.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they'd be any good, but they'd be a treat to watch. So Kyrie has what, a player option? I'll just say this, just money wise, Kyrie and Daniel Gafford for Giannis works. Obviously, like you have the first pick, so you know,
Wait,
whatever.
and the number one pick, right?
Yes, yes,
Oh,
yes,
okay,
yes,
yeah.
yes, 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 yes,
As I said,
yes.
that's a late Giannis package.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to figure out. I always do these trades where I don't need to put the pick in, like, because the pick
Yeah.
doesn't, you know, just figuring out the apron and all that other nonsense.
Right.
If they, what do you think would get that fan base over it more? Cooper Flagg becoming the third best player in the history of the franchise or winning a title?
But I don't think Giannis and Davis like wins a championship.
They have a chance. I would push back and say they have a chance. I don't know if they'd be my
Yeah, but
pick.
don't in theory then they have a chance with healthy Kyrie, Flagg, and Davis or no? Like
No,
I
I
take
don't think
that.
so.
I take like 15 years of Flagg and like I don't know.
I wouldn't, okay, I wouldn't do the
My
trade for the
answer would
record.
be I would not be a Mavericks fan if I was a Mavericks fan.
Yeah, look, again, I'm the guy who said like I would try and trade AD because I think the whole thing is just mumbled up because he refuses to play the
Yeah,
five and Flag is now
Flag's
like
now stuck at the three.
what? My only thing is if Dallas's whole MO was win now, that's what Giannis is. And it's just seemingly not a thing. So again, but yeah, like Jason Kidd passing on Cooper Flagg to go be the Knicks coach is just weird. Like that's weird to me. Am I too high on Cooper Flagg? Because I think Ime should
No.
leave Houston easily, but I don't think Dallas Dirt Kidd should leave Dallas.
Yeah, but Houston doesn't have a Cooper flag.
I agree.
Like Houston has eight really good guys, but like it's nowhere near the same.
You want my Amen Thompson question?
Is he better than
Overrated
Brook
or
Lopez?
underrated?
I mean, it's now swung so far where I heard a podcast with our guy Bill Simmons saying that he wouldn't trade him for Giannis. So like when that starts happening, that's
Yeah.
probably overrated. For a guy whose like offense isn't like fully developed. I think great, he's a like top 10 trade asset in the league, but like it's still probably swung a little bit too far. But then again, he was so good in that series, so like definitely, he's definitely not underrated though.
Well, if it has to be one or the other, that's the
He's definitely
thing. He's
more over than
not.
underrated, yeah.
It's crazy, but I tend to agree. Yeah, I don't know. This Knicks thing is really, really bizarre, and I still kind of think it's going to be Johnny Bryant, but like, there's clearly a lot of smoke here on them trying to bring in a guy.
I think it ends up being Kidd. I think Kidd ends up being the guy.
And then, because then we'll do a quick break, and I just want to do a couple Durant things quickly. But just your perspective, their head coach is Jason Kidd next year. Try and ignore the fact that they had to give up something to get it. Are you thumbs up, thumbs middle, thumbs down?
Middle. It just like whatever. Like I like it to me it all depends on like if the roster's the exact same.
Okay. We're gonna do a quick break. We'll come right back. I got a couple of Kevin Durant questions, and we'll get you out of here as we are with you on the Kevin Walsh Show.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Okay, so the hype around the offseason continues, and Wendy was running around telling everybody, yep, it's coming soon. Shams is clearing his schedule. A lot happening. Kevin Durant rumors left, right, and center. KD to the Spurs, maybe heating up a little bit more. Where are you right now just on Kevin Durant trade talks in general?
I think it's weird. So like the Spurs odds, because on FanDuel Canada they actually have odds on this. He was +340 yesterday, and he was +170 today for San Antonio. So it did move a ton. I think it's weird because like we just universally accepted that like he's not going to be on this team anymore. But like we kind of universally accepted that like at the trade deadline last year where they tried to trade him and then he squashed the Golden State thing, which is such a funny what if. And now it's just like we spent the entire last half of that year or last, whatever, third of the year after the deadline, being like, yeah, he's gone, he's a lame duck, and where is he going to go? I still have no idea what his trade value is. I don't see, like, any trade, like, we see so many rumors about him, but, like, no actual, like, trade packages. Like, if he's going to the Spurs, right, is it, like, is he going there for Castle and, like, one of the other first-round picks, or is he going there for salary filler? Like, I don't get it. Like, I really do think, and I don't know if it's me being biased because I want KD to be a Knick really bad, I really think the Towns thing does make sense for like what Phoenix should want. I don't get what Phoenix wants. I don't really get the Phoenix coaching hire. You know that I love what Booker's doing there, but like now it's even like too far where it's like, dude, you can't like just bottom out and be happy with that. Like I don't get it. It's one of the weirder things ever because I can't remember, first of all, like a top 15 player of all time being traded so often, but also just being like accepted, but like with no real market, right? Like and again, like this is something that could happen tomorrow, it seems like.
Yeah, so I think it kind of all captures how bizarre this Durant stuff is. And it is almost to me this weird thing where the price gets so low, it's now like, okay, every single team's on the phone, and now maybe the price can correct itself. The idea to me that the San Antonio Spurs can trade for Kevin Durant, without giving up Castle or the number two pick, I like cannot imagine. It's like, oh, you gotta have Fasell in the deal, right? It's like, yeah, what's happening here? Like, I don't understand how that's like the conversation. There's obviously the KD Cat piece of this. I saw a thing where the Suns are like, oh, I don't know if we want Cat. That's crazy, but I don't know what they want then.
Yeah, I
Like,
saw that too. But I feel like he fits what they should be trying to do pretty well. Stay above water, happy Booker. You get out of the
yeah.
Durant business. I know the contract's longer and big, but like, Maybe Booker's just like too happy now. I'm not even gonna try to make him happy.
If you're Kevin Durant, do you want to be a Knick or a Spur? I think there's an obvious answer.
I think Nick.
I agree completely. I think the Spurs stuff's nuts.
Yeah.
I like Wemby has maybe more sw Wemby though is now he might have sway with guys that are like too desperate. Like my De'Aaron Fox take is there being a report that he is hopeful to sign an extension is even more evidence that that trade was atrocious. Like I know I keep bagging on it, but like when's the last time a star player was like, I'm hopeful to sign an extension?
That's good. Yeah.
It's bad. Like in KD now, like apparently it came out like a little bit ago. Want prefers the Spurs. Why? Like, what is it that he sees there? Like, but I don't know, maybe just classic KD. Like the guy has no idea how to make good decisions in the offseason. Like he has the worst support team around him ever. Does he not realize that if he goes to the Knicks, if he goes to the Knicks and plays 3 seasons, I think there's a chance 35 goes in the rafters.
Yeah, I think he plays one.
Okay, there you go. He's nuts. This guy's awful at this stuff.
It's really weird, and like you'd think he would have learned from like the first time he picked the wrong side with the Knicks Nets thing, but
I was thinking about the Warriors' decision, which he won titles and was still wrong.
no, actually, I always defend that. I don't think he did anything wrong there,
No, I
but
pro no, 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 no way.
I obviously get the backlash. I am kind of surprised though with your take though, with how big a Wemby guy you are, that you're not in
Because
on him to San Antonio.
it is almost impossible to win as a West team in this argument.
Do you think he's
Katie's.
realizing he'll never play with him in the All-Star game because of the stupid changes and he has to play with him in the NBA?
Wait, let's do that. I wanted to get into that. We'll fit it in here. Give me your All-Star game take. For anybody that didn't see, Adam Silver's basically said we're going to do Team USA versus the world at the all for the All-Star game next year instead of East versus West.
Yeah, it's one of my. You like how I subtly snuck that in to make sure you didn't forget to.
Yeah,
Because
it was really good producing.
you tease without it. I was like, do I send him a chat in the Zoom? But then it's one of my like least favorite things ever. Like this, like all star changes. Like I'm in the camp. This kind of goes back to the face of the league thing. I don't care. I'm gonna watch anyway. Ratings thing. I don't care. I'm gonna watch. I don't care what the ratings are. I don't care what any of that stuff is. I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna enjoy it. And I think a lot of other people will too. The constant changing of the All-Star game has been ridiculous. I think the best format has always just been East versus West. It's cool. There's some kind of like connection between the conferences still, which is nice. I don't care if the game is 200 to 180. I don't care if the West wins 15 years in a row. The game doesn't matter. Why should anybody care? You're never going to get anyone to try, nor should the guys try because it's an exhibition game. The All-Star thing with like the captains was whatever because it was kind of fun. It was made for TV when they finally put it on TV, and that was good. Obviously, there's a charity component of it too, but like this world thing is just really mind blowing to me, because Adam Silver just continues to just and I know how much he loves like, world soccer and how much he's always leaned on that for like the in-season tournament, which I thought was a little silly. I think like I think it nets out at this point with the in-season tournament. It's like who cares? Year one, cool. Year two, just like whatever. But like this world versus USA, I think really confuses me because. There's just like no way with like the history of the league that you can't just have 12 All-Stars East and West. Like you can't have Josh Giddey now all of a sudden be an All-Star because he's the 12th best non-American player in the league and like I don't know, call it Jaylen Brown, hey, you're the 13th best American. You'd make the All-Star game every other year but you can't make it. Like so that's my question number one is like what are they going to do with the actual naming of the All-Stars? And this is maybe a thing that only I care about, but I think everyone should care about it because the league for 77 years now has had an all-star team where it's 12 East, 12 West. They never change that, even with the captains and everything. So that should continue. And then it becomes like, if you have 24 all-stars, but 15 are American, do you have a team of 15 Americans and then 9 international, and then you add 3 more international just for the weekend, like for the game, which is so stupid. So whatever. So that's like a smaller issue. The bigger issue is that they're so misguided and like, oh, well, we saw what the NHL did with the Four Nations face-off. That was a 2-week event. It wasn't the All-Star game. It replaced their entire All-Star weekend. They did it for 2 full weeks. And international hockey just means more, obviously. Hockey just means more because it's kind of hard to like not care in hockey, I would assume. I have no idea, but I would assume. And also, they're playing for their country. Like, Giannis is the right example because he cares what's East versus West. Jokic is not now all of a sudden going to play like he's playing for Serbia because he's playing for Team World. LeBron is not going to treat it like it's the Olympics. He's on Team USA for one night. It's a 2-hour event. Like, it really doesn't matter. It drives me crazy. Nobody's going to care. You're never going to get anybody to care. And like, I just hate this Team World, Team USA, because I don't want to live in the world where, like, again, not to pick on them, but like Josh Giddey is now an all-star every year because he's a top 12 international player. I hate it. I hate everything about it. It's like as fired up I get about anything. And but the combination of the stupid finagling now of like all-star teams and potentially ruining the years and years of history that we have with all-star teams, and then the stupid false equivalency between this and the Four Nations or anything else, it's not the Olympics. It's not even the FIBA World Cup. No one's going to care about playing for their country, for the US, for 2 hours, and no international players are going to care about playing for the world. It's not going to be competitive. Who cares? It's a joke. They'd be better off playing against another team, like Real Madrid or something.
That would actually be awesome,
Yeah.
actually. Like taking the
Like
Thunder
an
and making
MLS team
them
does it.
play in Real Madrid, by the way, would be the most exciting game of all time. And make Francis Tiafoe do the no, not Francis Tiafoe. What's
Oh.
Buddy's name? I'm thinking of tennis now. What's the
Dimitri
runner? What's the runner's
Tiafoe?
name?
Noah Lyles.
Noah Lyles. Make him sit there for commentary and watch him get smoked. Here's the thing. I agree with you in terms of I don't like ruining history. So like, what it takes to make an all. One of the things I liked when they started mixing the teams, it was still a pool of East and West guys. So like that held.
That was, I will say, really, not to interrupt you. I hold out hope they would continue to do that because they did it for the other change. But still, like, then you're, our guys just gonna like not be included in the game? Because then what if you end up with 16-8?
So my convert so my one of my big takes for next year is I think that just the NBA being on NBC is going to help perception wise a lot because they're just going to look different. TNT was so harmful and people try to pretend like it wasn't. The thing is, the people were pretending that only liked TNT because they were mean towards the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, so of course it was harmful. And one of the strongest I ever felt about that was when they got the All-Star game next year. Because they were like, oh, it's going to be the last year the All-Star game's on TNT. And it's like Kevin Hart is out there ruining the broadcast for people. And it's like, yep, this is going to be awesome. And I really thought all they needed to do, East, West, wear your
I was
uniforms.
about to say that with the uniforms, like the old NBC games,
And it
like the
was,
famous 03 game or whatever,
everyone was going to
98 game.
be so happy about it. It would have been so easy. And now you do this, and there's a chance they mess it up because of what you're talking about. With, okay, so now, Franz Wagner makes the All-Star team when maybe he didn't, even though, like, I don't know, maybe Franz will actually make it in a week in the East, right? What happens with Joel Embiid? Because we do this whole thing, it's like, what, well, American hasn't won an MVP in a long time. Well, it's like, well, I don't know, has maybe they have because Embiid played on Team USA. So how are you going to tell Embiid, who won a gold medal with Team USA, to now go play for Team World? So that's weird. And I know people are like, well, who's worried about Embiid being available for this game? I mean, listen, I don't know. I'm just saying that makes the whole thing weird. Maybe this was an incentive created because half the league is from Jamaica all of a sudden now because they're trying to all get involved on that team. I thought that was pretty funny that like Scotty Barnes and the Thompson twins are like, we're gonna. I thought that all the tweets that were like, Assort, I'm proud of you, way to represent, amen, campus in Vegas, we'll see you in July. Like, you are not going to play. You were playing for Team USA. Here's my biggest worry, though, is again the buffoons, to put it kindly, that have been like, yeah, the All-Star game is ruined because LeBron and them didn't care. The literal two by far biggest culprits of this entire thing of not caring are Luka and Jokic.
Yeah.
They show up and make a mockery of it every single year. Luka, when he was in it 2 years ago, I thought people were going to like riot onto the court and tackle him because of what he was doing. So the Team USA guys are going to care because their country's on the shirt. And the world guys who are going to probably be wearing these like generic black jerseys that just say world in white font. I already can give you the best bet for that game next year. I'll take Team USA minus the 7.5.
You think they're gonna, what, why would they care?
The USA guys?
Yeah.
Because the conversation is essentially the idea around this game is the world is better. And the world's coming. Did you see how close France was and Serbia was? And if you go out there and you get all LeBron, it's so funny, but like I watched the Serbia comeback and the close against France, just like a YouTube highlight package, literally like 3 nights ago.
Yeah.
It's the most intense basketball you'll see. It was awesome. And like LeBron and Steph and Durant care so much when they're on the court together. They just do. And
But that was like Olympic medal round. Like, they're not going to care about. Like, they
in
should
this
lose to the
setting, I
world.
think
They
they
can hardly
would.
beat. No, they can hardly beat France. Of course, they're going to lose to a combination of every team. And there'll be
I
no
don't think
shame in
they
that.
would though, because if it ends up being a real game, all of a sudden it's like in comes.
You think if everybody was trying, like, on both sides, the U.S. would win that game?
Yeah, I
No
actually
way.
no, I do. Yeah.
But why
Again,
would they.
I already have the best bet loaded up. I'm getting 4.5 all of a sudden now. This is great.
But you think so? You think the American team that needed like a miracle to beat Serbia with Jokic and Bogdanovic wouldn't beat would they would then beat Jokic and Giannis and all those guys together?
Yeah, listen, I do. I don't maybe I'm I think that I think their best five in a
Maybe they should
single
play this game then.
well, here no, because here's the thing. So their best five against the USA best five, right? In a one game standoff, I think is close. Because I still think LeBron, Steph, and Durant, one game, are all top X guys in the league. Like, I think their value in a single game setting. I'm not sure how much better Luka is than Durant if it's just one game.
I think we get wiped out. I don't think it could be close.
But don't you think that, but your whole reason of being bothered by it is because the bench is Josh Giddey and Rui Hachimura.
Yeah, but still
Like,
the start. But like,
is
I'm going
Giannis
based.
playing 40 minutes?
What in this one? Well, now what are we talking about? Are we talking about the All-Star game, or like if this was a real one-off game?
This one-off game, and we'll see how hard everyone
Yeah, but I take
tries.
Josh Giddey over the seventh man on France that pushed us to the brink in the Olympics.
Yeah, I get, but all, I mean, listen, it's also the setting. So, but part of this is, I think the USA will care more than the world will care. I really believe
I
that.
don't think anybody cares. I think it's just the All-Star game. But like,
Maybe.
why should they care? It's a break in their season. They are on vacation. They're doing a million other things.
So.
Like, I think it's the most overrated thing ever that anyone should care about any of this stuff.
I agree with that too, though. I don't the people who act like, oh, this was so bad when people are scoring like 150 in it, you know, two, you know, 150 in an All-Star game are wrong. That's what an All-Star game is. You want people throwing dunks and lob.
Yeah,
This
it's
last year's
fun.
All-Star game was one of the worst things that's ever happened. Everyone knows it.
I think it was the first time I didn't enjoy the All-Star game. I just it's just like a bigger like Adam Silver is just like so lost in the sauce and just like trying to change everything.
Yeah.
I think he's just like so like I don't know. This just really bothers me because it's such a just like misplaced attempt to
Can
like
I tell
do
you
something
why
good.
I think it'll be fine though? I truly, because he mentioned it's around the Olympics. I think it'll be a one-off. I think people have been talking about this for so long. You should just do it, just to see what happens. I think there'll be enough juice. I think it'll bring back a little oomph. I think the worry is it's so successful they can't pivot off of it. That would be my. I don't think there's any way it like fails. I don't think it's necessary. But I'm not low on what the product will be.
No, like at the end of the day, if this happens, it's just whatever, it'll be fine. I just don't make Josh Giddey an all-star. That's
But
all
what
I'm
happens
saying.
if it's like LeBron's last All-Star game and they're just getting punched by the world? It's like, you can't be doing that. Imagine it's
Yeah.
LeBron's last All-Star game. Oh my God, USA all line,
Wait,
12 and a
where is
half.
the all-star game? Is it this is the one in
LA.
Cleveland already happened? Oh, it is in LA.
But I think it's I think I've been messing this up. I think it's where the Clippers
It's
play.
at. Yeah, what does it matter?
That's like a, yeah, it's
It
fake.
must be because it's a new stadium. The Staples had it pretty recently too.
So yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. You have to tell me what the 12-man world roster would be. I don't know. It's like, listen, is Sabonis better than Gershon Yasubeli? Yes. But like, is Sabonis going to still get this work? Yes.
I
Like
take
the
Yabusele in the one game setting over Sabonis last year. I don't think that's close.
Well, listen. There you go then.
Wait, really quick, you think just
Yeah.
this is talk about earliest prediction ever. You think the US wins gold in 2028?
So it's really okay. This is not to give you a cop-out answer. I'm not sure, but I promise you they win it in 2032 because of the group that's coming, like, and how dominant they all project. Like, that's one of my biggest things is people keep being like, oh, you better watch out. But if you had to ask me now, yes, I would still expect them to win gold.
I would too. Me too. At home. And that's where they really care. And we saw that. I watched those highlights recently too.
Like,
It's a
I
different
don't.
level of basketball. It's better
Yeah.
than any NBA game since the 2016 finals.
Agreed. And it's.
Probably better than that, to be honest.
To be honest with you, I actually couldn't believe how, like, oh my gosh, it felt, because I thought the playoffs had been awesome. So I didn't want it to feel like a slight to the current basketball we've been getting. But, like, the final 6 minutes of game one of the finals and the final 6 minutes of USA Serbia, I
It's
don't.
US Serbia and US France is like those two games combined, like on the short list of like my five favorite like sports moments of like watching as a fan.
Yeah, no, they were. What a beautiful, unbelievable thing. And they didn't ruin it by giving MVP to the wrong guy, which was really, really important. What a perfect way to end it. I'm happy with that. The Durant stuff was minimal, but it's also unbelievably confusing. And I guess he's just going to be a Spur. And I guess Kidd's going to coach the Knicks. And I don't really know what to do with either of those things.
Sounds good to me.
That's Joe Friso. I'm Kevin Walsh. Again, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Don't forget NBA Finals Game 3 best bet. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander under 33.5 points. We'll see you next time.